Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Negro Please Radio. I'm your host, Chris Allen. How y'all doing? Thank you for tuning in. So sorry I didn't post my podcast last week. I was dumb. I didn't bring my laptop. I thought I did, and I didn't. And I didn't have access to a computer. But you know what? I had my other equipment. I should have at least recorded it. That way I could have just uploaded it when I got back. But for some reason, I didn't. And that reason is I just didn't have a lot of time. I was very busy last week just seeing friends and just busy. So I want to apologize. My bad. So this podcast right now, even though it's being recorded this week, is last week's podcast. And I'm going to do this week's podcast probably later on today, if not today, tomorrow. So that should be up on time. And so this week I'll talk about things that happened last week. And I know it's going to seem kind of dated because I really want to talk about the things that happened at the Super Bowl when it comes to Beyonce and how Cam Newton was being portrayed after the defeat in Super Bowl 50. So congratulations to the Denver Broncos. I didn't have a dog in the fight. I really didn't care who won. I'm old now. I'm an old dude now, so I didn't mind seeing Peyton Manning win one. I didn't mind, not one bit. So congratulations to him. Hopefully he retires, man. That's the way to go out. You win a Super Bowl and you're done. He's going to be a first-time ballot Hall of Famer, first ballot Hall of Famer. So if I was him, I would just bow out, man, say, I'm done. I am so finished. Thank you, guys. Never mind the HGH that was sent to my house that had nothing to do with why I had a good comeback and won a Super Bowl. But anyway, as always, I want to thank each and every one of you guys for listening to my podcast. I really appreciate it. So please keep telling your friends, family, share my podcast. It's growing. So I got my shirts ordered. I made the last payment on them. So I should have them pretty soon. Pretty cool t-shirts. They're black. They kind of have the NPR logo on them, but all I did was change the letter colors. Not the block colors, sorry. Not the letter colors, but the color of the blocks. I know I'm getting a lot of shit, people saying that I'm going to get shut down and they're going to sue me and I'm going to get a cease and desist order. I got 50 shirts, everybody. Now, if I'm selling thousands, I'm pretty sure they would, but I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out, you know? I know this isn't like the end-all, be-all when it comes to my shirts. I wouldn't mind having, you know, multiple iterations of this shirt. So this is my first idea. I thought it would be cool to kind of parry the actual NPR logo. Maybe the next shirt will be something a little bit different and more unique. But I thought it would be just kind of cool and funny to have a shirt that looked like NPR but have, like, these African colors on it. So be on the lookout for those. I should have those within the next week or so. And I'm trying to figure out what process or mechanism I'm going to use to mail these out. I'm not sure. I've never had merch before, so I don't know the easiest way to mail these out to people. So I'll have to talk to some of my friends and figure out what they do to make sure everyone gets their shirts in a timely manner. If you have any ideas, let me know. What do you think is the easiest things for me to do? So, yeah, I'll have sizes medium through 2XL. That's medium through 2XL. And they're black, and they're pretty cool. So, another thing, too, about the shirts, I was trying to find a way to actually just get Negro Please Radio put on the shirt. That way it's not like I'm giving NPR more advertising. But I don't think I could find any way to put Negro Please on a shirt and not have, like, some of my white friends nervous about wearing that shirt. So I need to try to think of a clever way to put that on a shirt without having people in fear of being beaten up for my T-shirt. But we'll figure it out. So Beyonce. Her performance, I saw, it's pretty dope. A lot of symbology in there, a lot of homage paid to Black Panther's Malcolm X. And for some reason that caused an uproar. I don't understand why that did. But it's just funny to see like the right wing get so mad. You see Rudy Giuliani get on Fox News talking about how inappropriate it was. You need something wholesome and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like, these are the same people that complain that this PC culture is hurting America. You know, saying that her performance was just not the time and the place to be pushing your racial and political views and agendas, and it's not appropriate. That's just so weird. It's so weird to me that these are the same people that hate the PC culture. So wouldn't you consider her performance just to be non-PC? You would think they would love it. They love Donald Trump for the shit that he does and says. She's speaking her mind through her music. He's speaking his mind. They know what Beyonce does. The NFL knew. It's not like they'd never heard of her before. They just let her get on there. It's so weird. You have seen country performers perform and they got the Confederate flag or some Confederate flag guitar or fucking cowboy hat or some shit like that. But that's not seen as anything political at all. And at the same time, guess what? No one walked into your home and put a gun to your head and made you watch that performance. No one. It's like you just watched it just so you can get more mad. You would think they would have loved her non-PC performance. But no, because it doesn't push their agenda. I'm pretty sure if you had some singer get up there and was, you know, anti-abortion and talking about Obama, they would applaud it. They would talk about how brave it was to get on such a big stage, such a huge stage, to have the courage to do that in such a liberal landscape. And all of a sudden, they will become a pundit on the show. But when it doesn't speak to anything that they care about or things that they don't find important, it's a problem. Hilarious. Then I love these whole comparisons now you've been seeing for the last week and a half or so, comparing the KKK to the Black Panther Party. I'll say I'm slightly ignorant to everything that the Black Panther movement did. All I know is it didn't start off as something bad. I don't even think it really ended as anything bad. I think it got labeled as a hate group. But it's just so funny to me how, like, take Malcolm X, for instance, because she has, you know, she kind of paid homage to Malcolm X. Like, how Malcolm X is viewed in this country is he's infamous more than he is famous. Well, infamous might be a little too strong. He has a little bit of a negative connotation when he's brought up when it comes to history. He's looked at as this straight up racist dude that just hated white people, right? And it's funny to me that people act like Malcolm X just woke up one day just like, you know what? I don't like white people. Like, he just woke up in this, like, somehow, like, somewhere in the 1950s, he lived in this great equal society. And I'm not condoning this shit or anything like that. I'm not condoning this dude's racism at all. But they act like this dude lived in an equal society where everybody was treated fairly. Nothing had been done to him wrong in his life by white people. If you know his story, dude had a pretty rough upbringing. But they act like this dude just woke up like it was 2050, I don't know. Like, he woke up in an equal society and was like, you know, I don't like white people. For no reason. For no reason at all. None. Just decided, I just don't like these people. Again, not condoning them for not liking white people. And then the thing is, Malcolm X never even killed anybody. Never even killed anybody. This dude pretty much preached what any Republican preached. Well, for Republicans today, because I think back then they still might have been considered Democrats. I don't know exactly when it kind of flipped. But all the shit right-wingers talk about, they would love to see black people do. Getting your shit together, not drinking, going to church. But I think what really scared them is and what was funny to me is like one of their biggest like codes of ethic is the fact that if you're put in harm's way or somebody tries to harm your family, then you have the right to defend yourself. You know, if somebody shoots at you, you shoot back. That's so American, you know? You shoot at me, I'll shoot back. You hear people talk about that all the time, especially right-wingers. That's all they talk about, standing your ground and defending yourself, survival. You hear those terms. This us versus them mentality. You know, by any means necessary. Dudes, you have, look at these dudes out in Washington State picking up arms against the government. Or is it Oregon? Oregon State, sorry. Oregon. Look at those dudes, man. People praise that shit. Then here you have Malcolm X telling black people, hey, arm yourselves. And if they shoot at you, you shoot back. If they try to kill somebody in your family, defend yourself. Don't sit there all, you know, like a victim. That's what you hear them talking about. And they hate this dude. They hate him for that. They made this dude seem like he was like he was trying to conjure up some type of war. How is that even fair, man? How is that fair? And even in 2016, I feel as a large black dude, I don't even fully have the right to defend myself. I think I'd get a little bit more leeway if it came to me defending my son. But as a large black dude, and I'm in a situation where things may get physical, I have to wait until there's like absolutely no doubt in everyone else's mind that I'm the one being harassed or I'm the one in danger. And even then, if something happened, you would hear people say, well, he still could have at least walked away. Or I could have done something to de-escalate the situation. Somehow I could have got out of this situation without turning to violence. That's so fucked up to me. Because if I get into a confrontation with somebody, off the bat, I'm always going to look like the aggressor to most people. Large black dude, angry. He started this somehow. For me to use deadly force, man, I have to be within inches of my life. As soon as someone else feels like their life is in danger at all, they can pull out a gun and shoot people, not me. Because people are like, what are you afraid of? Like I'm the boogeyman. Like I can't be afraid of the dark because that's where I roam. American culture, man, you fight fire with fire. But when it for like people of color, you have to fight fire with forgiveness and you have to forget shit. You ever notice that? Look at Martin Luther King. That's why he gets the praise that he got. You have to take the high road as a minority, as a person of color. If you fight fire with fire, it's just you're stooping down to that level. That's crazy. But everybody else in this country has a right, man, that you can, man. The minute you feel like your life is in danger, hey, man, do what you got to do. You just want to go home and see your kids at the end of the night. You're afraid. You feared for your life. But me, another black man like me, man, we literally have to be on the brink of death before we can do some shit to save ourselves. No one made you watch Beyonce's performance to back up. I thought it was brilliant. She did it on a big stage. And that's funny, man. When you're a celebrity, a black celebrity, they don't want you to have an opinion about anything, especially if it's pro-black. Again, if she was up there talking about how Obama was terrible and she was pro-life and all this right-wing shit, they would love her. They would love her for it. Look at Stacey Dash, dumbass. Getting pissed off. Look how they treated Cam Newton after the goddamn Super Bowl. This dude just choked in the biggest game of his life. You got people in the same room down, you know, further down, talking shit about him. They're asking him questions right after he lost. And they expect this dude just to sit here and listen to that shit. I see other comics, man. He need to stay there and do the job. That's part of what he gets paid for. It's like, honestly, how many comics have fucking bombed at a show, completely ate it, and just decided to stick around? Could you imagine if you bombed and somebody wanted to interview about how you bombed and just go over specific jokes that just died? You would say, man, get the hell out of here with that. I'm done. See you later. He choked. It had nothing to do with him dancing during the season. Or him having a good time. It's a huge stage. Peyton Manning choked on that stage before. A lot of great quarterbacks have. It's just a huge game. He got bested. He wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. Has nothing to do with anything else. I can't believe that was actually a news story for a few days. Can't believe that. I couldn't imagine somebody jamming a microphone in my face if I just got into an argument with like my wife or my mom or somebody like that. It's just like, if you gave people time just to relax. Look at Richard Sherman a few years ago. Still on the field. Took his team to the Super Bowl on a great play. Said he was the greatest cornerback ever. People lost their shit because of that. You can say too much, you can say nothing. And then when you get up there, if you give canned statements, then you're just like, oh, this dude is just some robot giving these PC answers. It's like, what the fuck do you want from these guys? What do you want? If they laugh too much, they're not taking the game serious. If they get too out of control, oh, these guys are out of control, man. Look, he's fighting. It's like, the dude's fucking mad. You want these dudes to be passionate about what? Your adrenaline's going, you're pumped up. Yeah, you might get into a scuffle. To me, that's part of the game. And then you got these nerds who can't even throw a goddamn football or shoot a basketball asking you questions right after you lost a huge game. What do you expect is going to happen? And then you got 50 reporters asking the same goddamn question over and over again. I would hate to sit there and get ridiculed by people that can't do what I do. It would piss me off too. It's just so funny to me that this, what we expect from athletes, this whole Beyonce thing. But yeah, you have people like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz get up there and just lie about shit. And people think it's okay. Just lie and say the worst thing about women, minorities, immigrants, and just people think that's great. But somebody walks out of an interview after a football game and you lose your mind. It blows my mind. But there's a show. That's a show. Next one coming up here soon. This was episode 56, I believe. Talk to you guys later. Peace.